First of all, Happy New Year. We begin our period of waiting for the birth of Christ by recalling the words of the prophet. A reading from the prophet Isaiah. I've waited almost a decade to say that. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you please stand in body or spirit for the reading of the gospel, which today comes from the message Jesus delivered to his disciples at the Last Supper. It's very appropriate for a day when we have communion. Reading from the Gospel according to John. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world. Again, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving, no matter how you spent it or with whom. It's just wonderful to see all of you here today. And if your family is anything like mine, Thanksgiving might be one of the few times a year that you find yourselves all in the same place. And so, at some point, it's possible that whether over pie or in front of football, the conversation with your family turn to the question of, what do you want for Christmas? Now, the older I get, the harder it is to answer that question, because you really can't tell Aunt Becky that what you would really like for Christmas is a new hot water heater. No. But when I was a kid, this was so easy. I remember that I always had a list ready to go anytime anyone would ask. And I can remember back to one Christmas in particular. I was in middle school. I was probably 11 or 12, when the only thing I really wanted was a CD player. And a CD player, not just, you know, a Discman or, you know, something like that, but I wanted a CD player with a multi-disc changer so that you could put your CDs in there and put them on shuffle and then just be surprised by whatever would come up. And so that year, I made sure that there was no mistaking in my parents' mind what it was I wanted. And so on Christmas morning, there it was, this giant stereo system. I mean, they were so big back then. And it was huge, and it had a 3-disc CD changer. Wow. And so along with this, I got 3 CDs, Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise, the soundtrack to Batman Forever, and Blues Traveler 4. And so I was so excited. I hauled that giant thing up to my bedroom, and I plugged it in, and I put it on. And for the next several days, the remainder of Christmas break, I listened to those on repeat and shuffle. And, you know, I don't even know if I enjoyed the music, but I was so excited. But now, when I look back at 12-year-old me, I realize that what I really wanted for Christmas wasn't a CD player. What I wanted was to fit in. I wanted to do what all the other kids my age were doing and to listen to what all the other kids were listening to, at least what I thought they were listening to. And so for me, that CD player was more about my longing to belong than it was for a desire to listen to some questionably good music. Because when I went back to school after Christmas break, it was like someone burst my bubble, because nothing had changed. I was the same insecure kid with hopeless bangs who didn't know if she fit in with the athletes or the mathletes, the theater kids or the musicians. And so for me, the magic of Christmas had gone as quickly as it had come. You know, maybe you've had an experience like this before, you know, where there's all this buildup to this one day, or maybe it's a couple of days if you're celebrating with multiple family units. But it's all the shopping and decorating and wrapping and cleaning and traveling and visiting and baking and shopping some more, all while trying not to spend too much or eat too much or stress too much, right? Am I right? Whew. We direct so many of our hopes toward this day, you know, whether it's our hopes for something on our wish list or whether we really just want everyone to be together. And that's what I've begun to say, but most of the time what I really mean when I say that is that I want everyone to be together, and I want them to be healthy, and I want them to get along and appreciate their gifts and not drink too much or swear in front of my kids and maybe put their phones away for a couple of hours and enjoy each other's company. So when we have torn through all the wrapping paper and eaten all the pie, and when our recycling bins are overflowing and it's time to put away the decorations, Christmas comes and goes, and sometimes not much has changed. Even if we did get the things we wanted, or if by some miracle people did actually behave themselves at the family gathering, at the end of the day, we're the same people with the same quirky families, only now just with a little bit more stuff we don't really need and with less money in our bank accounts. Maybe you've had the experience of feeling a little down or a little disappointed after Christmas is over. And there is actually a real phenomenon out there, and it's something called the post-Christmas letdown or post-holiday syndrome. And if you Google it, in addition to a number of Peanuts cartoons that are likely to come up, you'll also find all sorts of articles about how to cope with it or how to help your kids get over it. But I don't think it's as much a problem with Christmas as it's a problem with the way that the commercials and the Hallmark movies and the catalogs have conditioned us to do Christmas. You know, we may go to church each weekend during the Advent season, but during the other 167 hours of the week, we have to constantly fight this pressure to buy and spend and do and then repeat, buy, spend, and do. So no matter how you might complete the phrase, "All I want for Christmas," and not with the Mariah Carey song, "Please." That's a good, now it's in your heads, I know. It's like, I'm sorry. Note not to mention that at the next service. No matter how you complete that phrase, our culture's way of doing Christmas is likely always to leave us disappointed. And in large part, that's because we have these deeper longings that that type of Christmas doesn't touch. And so during this Advent season, during these weeks of preparation leading up to Christmas, we're going to explore the way that God's gift to us in Jesus gets right to the heart of these longings we might not even know we have. And it's this type of Christmas, one where we look forward to Jesus' coming and we make room in our hearts and in our lives and in our homes to receive him. It's this Christmas that has the potential to make a lasting difference both for us and for the world that we live in. So today I want us to explore together this inner longing we have for peace. Now, some of us are being honest, and I hope we can in this space. We might say, you know I probably should long for peace, but I'm not really sure that I do at the end of the day. And if that's where you are today, that's okay. Because I think that there are some of these longings that go so deep that we might not be in touch with them very much at all. But let me just ask this. How many times have you found yourself discouraged when you've turned on the news? You know, there's news of another mass shooting or of racial violence and abuses of power, or children caught in the crosshairs of civil war. Or how many times have you found yourself reflecting on the harm that we are causing to one another in this country, not just by our actions, but also by our rhetoric, just the way we talk about each other? And you found yourself thinking, if only there were some way to make it stop. If that's you, you have a longing for peace. Or when you think about your loved ones, is there at least one relationship that you wish could be different? You know, the holidays have this way of amplifying those particular relationships so that we get to this point of thinking, you know, there's a reason why we see some of these people only one time a year, right? But whether there's tension or it feels like something is broken, if you find yourself wishing for that tension to go away or wondering if it might ever be possible to repair what's been broken, you have a longing for peace. And what about what's going on in here? You know, how many of us have found ourselves awake at night, unable to sleep because of the anxious thoughts swirling in our minds, or because of a hurt or heartache or guilt or regret about things we've done or things we've left undone? And perhaps that happens even more so in this season when the nights are longer. Because I think there's something about night that brings this lack of peace to the foreground. You know, the world goes to bed and we find ourselves alone with nothing to distract us from our thoughts and our fears. You know, during the day, much easier to ignore. You know, we can keep ourselves busy and we can stuff down those worries and stuff down those feelings so that we can face what's in front of us with a smile. But it's this lack of peace inside us that's really at the root of all violence and all conflict. It's at the root of all those broken relationships. Because even if we're pretty good at stuffing those things down, at some point, if we don't take them out and look at them, and if we don't give ourselves the opportunity to heal, eventually they'll bubble up and they'll bubble over, often in anger toward other people or in harm toward ourselves. And so, whether we've ever named it or not, that longing is there. And what we want more than a new CD player or new gloves or even a new hot water heater is for someone or something to quiet the storms inside of us, and for someone or something to heal what's been broken between us and the people we love, for someone or something to change the hearts of those who are bent toward violence. And there is someone who can do that, and that someone is Jesus. And we heard today a passage from the Gospel of John. When Jesus was nearing the end of his time on earth, it was just after the Last Supper and right before the moments that led up to his arrest and his crucifixion. And during this time, he spent actually quite a bit of time downloading his final set of instructions to his friends, the disciples. And Jesus's closest, one of his closest friends, a man named John, wrote down what he said. And so it's recorded for us in chapters 13 through 17 of John's Gospel. And as we read, it starts to seem to us that maybe Jesus had some shots of espresso at dinner instead of wine, because he speaks almost uninterrupted for about 4.5 chapters, with the exception of just a couple questions from his friends. And so he's basically saying, here are all the things I want you to remember when I'm gone. And this is what he says. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. I do not give to you as the world gives. Now, what does Jesus mean by that? You know, to our 21st century ears, that might not be immediately clear. But Jesus' friends would have understood exactly what he meant, because Jesus and his friends were born into this time in history called the Pax Romana, or the Roman peace. And the Pax Romana is a period of about 200 years in the history of the Roman Empire, where the empire grew to its largest. Actually, it grew to include more than a third of the world's population. And Rome heralded this time as a time of peace, because on the whole, and compared to the centuries leading up to it, the empire experienced a period of relative stability. But it doesn't mean there weren't wars. There were certainly wars, there were revolts, and as the empire was expanding, you can bet that when they went to a city, they didn't just say, "Hello, we'd like to take your city." And the people said, "Okay." You know, there was military violence. But this was the peace that the world gave. It was a peace that was gained not through justice, but through power and coercion. A peace that beat down and rendered powerless anyone that would threaten, that it perceived as a threat. And it was a peace that was held in check by fear and oppression. It was a peace that ultimately would kill the Prince of Peace. But when Jesus spoke of peace, Jesus' understanding of peace was rooted in the Hebrew word shalom. You've heard that word probably. And shalom is a word that we translate most often as peace, but in the English language, we don't really have a word that captures its fullness. Shalom is not just an absence of conflict or trouble, but it carries with it this sense of wholeness, of completeness. And when we look at the ways that it's used in the Bible, it's often used to talk about the complete restoration of the world and all its creatures. And so shalom is about fullness. It's about fullness of health and prosperity for ourselves and for others. And that's the kind of peace that Jesus wanted to leave with his disciples. Next to that kind of peace, the Pax Romana is like settling for choose civility when we could choose love, you know? And the thing is that Jesus didn't just wish peace for his disciples. You know, he's not just giving them a blessing the same way we do at the end of a worship service. And he's not just passing on this nice feeling. Notice that he's giving them a part of himself. He says, "My peace I give to you." Jesus is leaving them a part of who he is as a way to help them through troubled times to come. And so when the disciples heard that, and when they thought about Jesus' peace, they would have thought about their friend who was able to sleep in a boat during the middle of a storm, or calm the winds and the seas with a single word, or stand up to those who opposed him, or offer forgiveness to those who tormented him when he was hanging on a cross. That was the kind of peace that Jesus had within himself, and that was the kind of peace that he wanted to leave with them. And you know what? He wants to do the same for us. But we've got to let him. And Christmas is the perfect time, because at Christmas and during this Advent season, we prepare to welcome Jesus once again into our lives. This tiny infant, yes, but this tiny infant who was also named Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And on Christmas Eve, we will remember together that at his birth, God's glory pierced the darkness, and angels filled the night with a chorus that said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." A people walking in darkness have seen a great light. You know, I don't think it was an accident that Jesus' birth announcement came in the night. I spent a lot of time awake at night. Got little kids, and they're often awake at night. And a couple of weeks ago, I was awakened in the middle of the night by the sound of my daughter, Amelie, crying. Amelie is 4. And I could hear her from her room. And so when I went into her room, I got into her bed next to her. And I asked her what was wrong. And she told me that she had had a nightmare. And in this nightmare, she had dreamed that we were all on vacation. And somehow she ended up all by herself in the ocean. You know, this kid who can barely swim, she was by herself in the ocean. And the rest of the family was back at the beach house. And so I felt my heart lurch at this thought of her all alone, being tossed by the waves, overcome by fear. And so I wrapped my arm across her chest, and I said the first thing that came to my mind, which was, I would never let that happen. You are far too important to me. And with that reassurance, her tears stopped. And her breathing settled, and she fell back to sleep. In a way, Christmas is about this. It's about God coming alongside us in Jesus, in the darkness of human night, when we were tossed about by our sin, overwhelmed by the world's violence, and overcome by fear. That Jesus is called Emmanuel. God with us is God's way of saying, you are far too important to me for me to ever let you do this alone. God with us. The peace of heaven with us. And so at Christmas, we prepare to receive God's gift to us, a gift that reaches into the depths of the human heart and touches our longing for peace. Not as the world gives, but an altogether peace. Whole and complete. Because this tiny infant will grow, and he will calm the storms, and he will heal the broken, and he will call together this ragtag group of men called disciples from all walks of life and give them the ability to unite around the one thing that mattered most, serving one another in love. And he'll teach that we are never too far from God and God's love to be welcomed back home. And he'll remove from us the guilt of our sin and the shame of our failures. And in dying, he will prove that we are loved beyond measure. And in rising, he'll show us that death doesn't get the final word. But if we make it about anything else, if we make Christmas and do it about anything else, and if we do it the way we've always done it or the way that Amazon and Kohl's and the Hallmark Channel wants us to do it, we'll be left wanting more. And so how do we make sure that we don't miss out on this gift? Well, it doesn't mean that you can't do gifts on Christmas. You can still give gifts on Christmas. But just make sure that those aren't the gifts that you're waiting for. And to do that, we've got to be a little bit intentional. If you've read Pastor's Ponderings this week, there's some great ideas in there about how to set aside some time during this Advent to prepare and to wait for Jesus' coming. If you don't get it, here are just a few things that you might think about doing. But either way, I hope you will carve out some time and some space, whether it's at the dinner table or whether it's on your drive to work or it's in your quiet time, to intentionally reflect on Jesus' coming, this gift that God gives us, this gift of peace. You might do an Advent devotional if you do get Pastor's Ponderings. One came out at midnight this morning, so you might want to follow along with that throughout the days leading up to Christmas Eve. And at my house, we mark time by, we've made an Advent wreath, and it sits in the middle of our dinner table, and we light it each night at dinner, and it helps us. It helps us anticipate Jesus' coming. Or, since Advent is exactly 24 days this year, one of the things you might try is reading through the Gospel of Luke. If you read a chapter each day, Luke is 24 chapters, so that on Christmas Eve, you will have finished the entire story of Jesus' time here on earth. But if that's too hard and you need a little motivator, maybe chocolate will help. And so if you go on Amazon right now between now and 9:15 a.m., you can get a chocolate Advent calendar that will be delivered today if you spend $35, And inside, you have to look and make sure it's one with scripture and not like Christmas carols or something, sappy things about Santa. But you can get one, and each day you read scripture, and it helps you. It helps us prepare, and it helps us sort of to mark time in a different way. Or finally, you might want to consider giving. Giving toward a cause that is intentionally working to this kind of peace that Jesus came to bring. If you need help thinking of one, Hope Works, right here in Howard County, works to offer healing and restoration to those who have been victims of human trafficking or domestic violence. But whether you do one of these things or all of them, I hope that whatever it is helps you take a break from Christmas as usual and to find yourself waiting and preparing for the Prince of Peace, so that when Christmas comes, you're ready to receive him and you're ready to receive his peace, not the peace that the world gives, but the peace of heaven. Sleep in heavenly peace, we will sing to Jesus on Christmas Eve. May the same be true for you. Amen.